భాగవతం క్యాంటో 11 చాప్టర్ 16 చాప్టర్ ఎంటైటిల్డ్ ద లార్డ్స్ ఆప్యులెన్స్ టెక్స్ట్ 39 సంఖ్యానాం పరమాణూనాం కాలేన క్రియతే మయా న తథా మే విభూతీనా సృజతో అండాని కోటిశః సంఖ్యానాం పరమాణూనా కాలేన క్రియతే మయా న తథా మే విభూతీనా సృజతోండాని కోటిశః సంఖ్యానాం పరమాణూనాం కాలేన క్రియతే మయా న తథా మే విభూతీనా సృజతోండాని కోటిశః సంఖ్యానాం పరమాణూనా సంఖ్యానాం పరమాణూనా కాలేన క్రియతే మయా నతః మే విభూతినా సంఖ్యానాం పరమాణూనా కాలేన క్రియతే మయా న తథా మే విభూతినా సృజతోండాని కోటిశః మాతాజీ సంఖ్యానాం కౌంటింగ్ పరమాణూనా ఆఫ్ ది యాటమ్స్ కాలేన ఆఫ్టర్ సమ్ టైమ్ క్రియతే ఇస్ డన్ మయా బై మీ నాట్ తథా ఇన్ ద సేమ్ వే మే ఆఫ్ మీ విభూతీనా ఆఫ్ ది ఆప్యులెన్సెస్ సృజత హూ ఆమ్ క్రియేటింగ్ అండాని యూనివర్సెస్ కోటి సహ బై ద ఇన్యూమరబుల్ మిలియన్స్ ట్రాన్స్లేషన్ అండ్ పర్పోర్ట్ బై ద డిసైపుల్స్ ఆఫ్ హిస్ డివైన్ గ్రేస్ శ్రీల ప్రభుపాద్ ట్రాన్స్లేషన్ ఈవెన్ దో ఓవర్ అ పీరియడ్ ఆఫ్ టైమ్ ఐ మైట్ కౌంట్ ఆల్ ది ఆటమ్స్ ఆఫ్ ద యూనివర్స్ ఐ కుడ్ నాట్ కౌంట్ ఆల్ ఆఫ్ మై ఆప్యులెన్సెస్ విచ్ ఐ మేనిఫెస్ట్ విద్ ఇన్ ఇన్యూమరబుల్ యూనివర్సెస్ పర్పోర్ట్ The Lord here explains that Uddhava should not expect a complete catalogue of the Lord's opulences, since even the Lord himself finds no limit to such opulences. According to Srila Jiva Goswami, Kalena indicates that the Supreme Personality of Godhead is within every atom and can therefore easily calculate the total number of atoms. However, although the Lord is certainly omniscient, even He Himself cannot supply a finite number for His opulences because they are infinite. Om Ajnanati Mirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam స్థాపితం యేన భూతలే స్వయం రూప కదా మహ్యం దదాతి స్వపదాంతికం వందేహం శ్రీగురో శ్రీయుతాపద్కమలం శ్రీగురూన్ వైష్ణవాంశ్చ శ్రీరూపం సాగ్రజాతం సహగణా రఘునాథాన్వితం తం సజీవం సాద్వైతం సావధూతం పరిజనా సహితం కృష్ణ చైతన్య దేవం శ్రీ రాధా కృష్ణ పాదాన్ సహగణా లలితా శ్రీ విశాఖాన్వితాంశ్చ హే కృష్ణ కరుణా సింధో దీనబంధో జగత్పతే గోపేశ గోపికా కాంత రాధాకాంత నమోస్తుతే తప్త కాంచన గౌరాంగీ రాధే వృందావనేశ్వరీ వృషభానుసుతే దేవీ ప్రణమామి హరి ప్రియే వాంఛాకల్పతరుభ్యశ్చ కృపా సింధుభ్య ఏవ చ పతితానాం పావనేభ్యో వైష్ణవేభ్యో నమో నమః జయ శ్రీ కృష్ణ చైతన్య ప్రభు నిత్యానంద శ్రీ అద్వైత గదాధర్ శ్రీవాసాది గౌర భక్త వృంద హరే కృష్ణ 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 హరే 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 రామ 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 హరే 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 కృష్ణ సంఖ్యానాం పరమాణూనాం కాలేన క్రియతే మయా న తథా మే విభూతీనాం సృజతో అండాని కోటిసః. ఈవెన్ దో ఓవర్ అ పీరియడ్ ఆఫ్ టైమ్ ఐ మైట్ కౌంట్ ఆల్ ది అటమ్స్ ఆఫ్ ద యూనివర్స్, ఐ కుడ్ నాట్ కౌంట్ ఆల్ ఆఫ్ మై ఆపులెన్సెస్ విచ్ ఐ మేనిఫెస్ట్ విద్ ఇన్ ఇన్యూమరబుల్ యూనివర్సెస్. సో వీఆర్ నియరింగ్ ది ఎండ్ ఆఫ్ దిస్ చాప్టర్, ద 16th చాప్టర్ వేర్ కృష్ణ హెస్ బీన్ ఎక్స్ప్లెయినింగ్ అబౌట్ హిజ్ ఓన్ ఆప్యులెన్సెస్. ద లాస్ట్ 30 వర్సెస్ కృష్ణ హెస్ బీన్ ఎక్స్ప్లెయినింగ్ అబౌట్ హిస్ డిఫరెంట్ ఆప్యులెన్సెస్, గ్లిమ్స్ ఆఫ్ విచ్ వి ఆల్సో సా ఇన్ ది భగవద్గీత 10th చాప్టర్ ఆల్సో ఎక్స్ప్లెయిన్స్ ద సేమ్ టు అర్జున. అండ్ దిస్ పర్టికులర్ వర్స్ కృష్ణ ఈజ్ లైక్ ఎండింగ్ అప్ విత్ ది ఎక్స్ప్లెనేషన్ ఆఫ్ ది ఆప్యులెన్సెస్ అండ్ హీ సేయింగ్ కి ఐ హావ్ బీన్ ఎక్స్ప్లెయినింగ్ సో మచ్ ఆఫ్ మై ఆప్యులెన్సెస్ టు యూ, నౌ ఇట్స్ ఇనఫ్. I mean, matlab, how much do I tell now? Just understand that it is unlimited. I was reflecting how, you know, as a kid, 30 years back, when electricity used to be a very rare commodity in India, when there were power cuts, we would go up onto the terrace of our houses at night and we would start counting the stars in the sky. All those bright stars we would count. And 1, 2, 3, 4, we would count up to a certain number. And then realize simply there are innumerable such stars, so there is no point in counting all of those stars. Similarly, like when we go to Jagannath Puri, we sit on the seashore, we start looking at the waves are coming one after another. And we see this is the large wave, udhar dekho, udhar ek bada wave aa raha hai udhar. And we keep on looking at the waves. But then the show never stops. The waves, they keep on coming indefinitely, in innumerable quantities. We get tired, but not the quantity of the waves. Something similar is happening here when Krishna is explaining that how Krishna is finding himself, you know, his own qualities to be unlimited. And he's explaining that I may be able to count all the atoms in this universe, but I'll never be able to count all my opulences. So someone may wonder that how can Krishna, who is the supreme, you know, source of everything and who knows everything, is omniscient, but still he is personally, you know, admitting that this is something that I won't be able to do. One time someone asked Srila Prabhupada, can Krishna create a rock? Can Krishna create a rock which he cannot lift? And he thought that maybe he has now cornered Srila Prabhupada. And Prabhupada very expertly, with his brilliant acumen, Prabhupada said that yes, Krishna can create a rock which he cannot lift. And then Prabhupada paused. And he said, and then he will lift it. So yes, Krishna can do unimaginable feats, and he has such innumerable quantity qualities, such unlimited opulences. And here he wants to, in this particular verse, Krishna is wanting to set the expectation of Uddhava, right? That how Krishna, he wants Uddhava to focus not on the completeness aspect of Krishna. Krishna is expecting Uddhava that instead of focusing on the aspect of my completeness, the complete number of my opulences, better focus on the charisma of my personality. And talking about this charisma, I just happened to look this particular word in the dictionary, and I found a very interesting meaning. I mean, charisma, we usually refer to the, you know, celebrities and, you know, people like that. But I saw this word charisma, and I thought maybe I'll share it with all of you. This charisma, the word charisma means compelling attractiveness or charm that can inspire devotion in someone. That is the meaning of the word charisma. And I was wondering that who better than Krishna could aptly fit into this definition? Compelling attractiveness or charm that inspires devotion in someone. And we know how the very word Krishna means one who is all attractive. Shad Aishwarya Purna. One who is filled in unlimited quantities with these six types of opulences. And of course, the Acharyas explains that it is not Krishna just as these six types of opulences. These six are the basic categories. The category of strength, knowledge, beauty, wealth, fame and renunciation. But yes, Krishna has unlimited such qualities. And these six opulences, they are just the major varieties, the major categories of the opulences of Krishna. In this world also we find that how there is so much of craze about estimating the worth of a personality. We see that how different research surveys, the Forbes magazine came out with a survey of the number of billionaires in this world. 2,208 billionaires, summing up to a net worth of $9.1 trillion. $9.1 trillion. That is the worth of total of these billionaires. There is something known as the 3 comma clubs. Any of you have heard of what is the 3 comma club? So 3 comma club refers to those people who have, you know, become those billionaires. Jinka salary, those who have that balance in those, you know, their figures have those 3 commas like that. So yes, we have Mr. Jeff Bezos. Mr. Jeff Bezos, the owner of Amazon, having a net worth of $130 billion. Now that is really a figure, $130 billion. Followed by Mr. Bill Gates at $92 billion, and followed by Mr. Warren Buffett at $91 billion. And these personalities, they are considered as the epitome of success in this world. Everyone in the corporate arena, whosoever is working, they have these personalities as their, you know, role models. They want to work like them. They want to get there. They want to achieve that 3 commas. Chalo, 3 commas nahi hai, at least 2 commas. Even having 2 commas is like a great feat. But then talking about Krishna, that how Krishna actually has unlimited commas, which he is explaining here. It is not just 2 or 3 commas. And even in the media, we see news about such opulent personalities. In the newspaper, there is something known as page 3. So, na page 3 to suna rahega aap logon ne. Have you heard of page 3? Page 3 contains the news of all those celebrities and people in the high class society, how they are enjoying life and how they are, you know, partying and, you know, making money and things like that. And there is so much of buzz about knowing about such people, those who have actually, you know, those who are actually having such kind of opulent lifestyle. But all this fame, all this, you know, opulence, if we analyze very carefully, is just based upon one particular quality of having some extraordinary quantity of wealth. That too temporary. The wealth that these personalities are, these listings of, you know, who is that number one, who is that number two, this changes at every year. Every year, you know, someone precedes someone and someone just overshoots someone. So all this fame that is based solely on one opulence of wealth is also very temporary. And therefore, when Srila Prabhupada, he was giving the commentary to Bhagavad Gita, in the tenth chapter where Krishna is explaining about his opulences to Arjuna, Prabhupada named that chapter as Opulences of the Absolute. Someone whose opulences are not dependent on time, place and circumstances. It is not that Krishna is right now on 1st February 2019, Krishna is like the epitome of opulence. No. Krishna is absolute. His opulences are absolute. And therefore, what Krishna is aiming at in both these descriptions, the description of the Bhagavad Gita and the description of his opulences here in the Bhagavatam, he is aiming at just one particular thing, that just try to understand that these opulences are just different. It is not like the opulences that we find in this particular world. So we'll look at these two audiences that are hearing about Krishna's opulences, both in the Bhagavad Gita and the Srimad Bhagavatam. And we'll try to see a kind of a comparison between both these audiences and what is their approach going ahead. So Krishna is describing about his opulences to Arjuna in the Bhagavad Gita. And Krishna is explaining about his opulences to Uddhava in the Srimad Bhagavatam here in the 11th canto. And both of these personalities, Arjuna and Uddhava, the very first thing that both of they do is they are surveying the situation that is before them. Arjuna in the first chapter is surveying the situation that is before him. He is looking at the battlefield, the armies who have assembled in the battlefield of Kurukshetra, and he starts to ponder, what would happen if I just continue in this particular situation? What will be the future? And Arjuna is contemplating that if I just carry out, what is going to happen? Because Arjuna, it is explained, that the nature of the mind is to analyze and ponder on the after effects. And similarly, Arjuna is analyzing his life after all his family members are gone. And he is exclaiming to Krishna that, you know, what is the use of having this kingdom if I don't have anyone with whom I can enjoy this kingdom with? And therefore, Arjuna is realizing that I need to do something. I can't just let the situation as it is. I can't just, you know, keep continuing like this. Arjuna is analyzing on the situation and is pondering on the after effects. Similarly, we see in the case of Uddhava, Uddhava is also realizing after Krishna has a discussion with the Yaduvamsa and the plan is said that how, you know, Uddhava is able to understand that now the entire Yadu dynasty will be, you know, Krishna will be taking everyone to the spiritual abode and very soon Krishna will also depart. Now seeing this situation, Uddhava is also distressed. He is also thinking that how can I live without Krishna? And earlier in this canto, I think in the 6th chapter of 11th canto, Uddhava is pleading to Krishna that now I can understand that you are about to wind up your pastimes in this material world and go back to your spiritual abode. And therefore, I beg unto you that please take me also along with you. So this surveying the situation is being done both by Arjuna and by Krishna. And when we look in our own examples, we find as practicing devotees, we also can relate with both these examples actually. Arjuna, it is said that Arjuna was very much attached on the platform of, you know, Arjuna was having his material attachments with his family members, with his, you know, kins and brothers and like that. And similarly, as practicing devotees, we also have a certain degree of material attachments. So we have a certain degree of material attachments and we also have to some degree some attachment to Krishna. And therefore, this surveillance, that this survey that is being done by Arjuna and Uddhava, maybe hints that how we should also ask these two questions in our life. As to what will happen if our material attachments are too strong, the way Arjuna is asking. Arjuna is understanding that my material attachments are very strong and therefore, you know, something needs to be done. Similarly, Uddhava is also wondering, Uddhava is also asking that how will his life be after Krishna is gone. So similarly, even as practicing devotees, if we survey the situation, today we may be in a situation where we are a nice association of devotees, we have a nice Krishna conscious environment, but going forward, tomorrow, what if a Krishna conscious environment is not physically present before me? Am I capable enough? This is what Uddhava is contemplating upon. This is what Uddhava is wondering. That maybe today Krishna is present before me, I am having a gala time. But what if tomorrow Krishna is not present? Similarly, as practicing devotees, each of us need to think that. Today I may be in a nice Krishna conscious environment. Am I capable enough if things change tomorrow? And therefore, the survey of the situation is being done beautifully by both Arjuna and Uddhava. But then both these personalities, they don't stop there. What they do next is that they use their intelligence to make a proper decision. It is explained that inquiry is a sign of intelligence. And all this survey and analysis is good, provided it is followed by making a right decision. Otherwise, many a times people just get involved or get stuck up in that groove of making analysis. Why did this happen? What will happen? This will happen. That will happen. Thinking about so many things without coming to a conclusion and without making a decision. And we find the same thing happening with Arjuna. In the first chapter, Arjuna is giving n number of reasons why he doesn't want to participate in the battle. You know, what will happen if I just end up killing all my kinsmen, and what will be the situation of the society later on? Who will bear the burden of the sinful reactions that will come? And in the entire first chapter, Arjuna is giving one reason after another. But towards the end of the first chapter, Arjuna realizes that I may have said a lot, but maybe somewhere down the line, I need some help. I need some guidance. And therefore, what Arjuna does is he uses his intelligence to submit himself before Krishna. And he exclaims in the beginning of the second chapter, Karpanya dosho upahata swabhava prichhami tvam dharma sammoodha chetaha yashreyasyam nishchitam bruhitanme shishyasteham sadhimam tvam prapanna. Arjuna is actually submitting himself with his intelligence before Krishna to seek help. And similarly, even Uddhava also submits himself. After he surveys the situation, he also submits himself to Krishna. So there is this beautiful verse in the 6th chapter of 11th canto, the 43rd verse, where Uddhava is speaking, Naham tavangri kamalam kshanardham api keshava tektum samutsahe natha swadhama nayamam api. O Lord Keshava, my dear master, I cannot tolerate giving up your lotus feet even for a fraction of a moment. I urge you to take me along with you to your own abode. So yes, both Arjuna and Uddhava, they have analyzed the situation and they have submitted themselves before Krishna. And what happens next? Again, there is a similarity between Arjuna and Uddhava. When they submit themselves before Krishna, expecting some help from Krishna, both of them already have a certain solution in their minds which they are expecting from Krishna. Arjuna is expecting a solution where Krishna will say, okay, you don't feel like fighting, you know, get off the chariot and move on, go into the forest. This is what Arjuna is expecting. And similarly, we find in the Bhagavatam, Uddhava is expecting that Krishna will take me along with him to the spiritual abode. But then in both these situations, the solution that is offered by Krishna is completely different, is drastically different. What is being advised to... So the essence is, when we submit to Krishna, we may be having a certain conception in our mind as to what will work the best for me. But true submission means when we are ready to accept what Krishna wants to, how Krishna wants to help us out. And therefore, Krishna gives both these personality two things. The very first thing that Krishna gives is service. Krishna asks Arjuna to fight as a service to Krishna. And similarly, Krishna asks Uddhava to take up sannyas, get into the renounced order of life, go to Badrika Ashram, associate with the sages there, and then travel all over the world to distribute Krishna consciousness to everyone. So the first thing that Krishna gives to both Arjuna and Uddhava is service. Now this service is not what they had expected. Arjuna was expecting that maybe Krishna will tell him to just, leave the battle and go into the forest. But Arjuna is being advised to remain in the battle and fight it out. And similarly, Uddhava, he was also expecting that maybe Krishna will take me to his spiritual abode. But Krishna advises, no. As a service, you got to be behind and you got to explain to the entire world what you have experienced in my association. So the first thing that Krishna gives to Arjuna and Uddhava is service. The second thing that Krishna gives is shelter. And how to both Arjuna and Uddhava, Krishna speaks about himself, about his glories, about his opulences. And we find even in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna is explaining, the entire 10th chapter is Krishna explaining about himself. Someone may say that, is it being too proud that Krishna is explaining so much about himself? Look at this, how I am this, and I am the best of this, and of these you may understand me to be this. It's like boasting about oneself. But Krishna is not actually boasting about himself. He is explaining about himself to both Arjuna and Uddhava, so that based on that knowledge that they are receiving, they can take shelter of Krishna. So this principle of remembrance, this principle of shelter that is being given to both Arjuna and Uddhava is universal. This is the principle that how one needs to know about Krishna and take his shelter. But then as a detail, so this principle of taking shelter is the same in both the case of Arjuna and Uddhava. But when it comes to details of how exactly to serve Krishna in terms of service, we find the details of implementing that service is different in the case of Arjuna and in the case of Uddhava. Arjuna is being advised to actually fight, be there in the battlefield and fight it out. And similarly, Uddhava is being expected to give up, his worldly duties and take to the renounced order of life. So yes, this service may be a detailed one, which may vary from person to person. But the principle of taking shelter based on sound knowledge of Krishna is same for everyone. And that same knowledge is being explained here by Sukadeva Goswami in Srimad Bhagavatam. And also I found it very interesting that how, although Krishna is explaining about himself that his opulences are unlimited and do not try to, understand it in totality, still by his expertise, Sukadeva Goswami has distilled the entire personality of Krishna, the entire opulence of Krishna, and he is giving in just 7 days what Parikshit Maharaj needs to know the best. And therefore, although Krishna is unlimited, Sukadeva Goswami is expertly distilling out what will be most beneficial for Parikshit Maharaj and in a sense to all of us also. And therefore, when we hear about these messages of Sukadeva Goswami, we understand that when Krishna is mentioning to Uddhava that I can count all these, over a period of time, I might count all the atoms of the universe. I could not count all of my opulences, which I manifest within innumerable universes. And therefore, Krishna is wanting Uddhava to appreciate the quality and not the quantity of his opulences. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, in his commentary to this particular verse, he explains that when one cannot count the universes which are being created by Krishna, how can one count the vibhutis that are within the universes? If it is impossible to count the number of universes that emanate from the body of Mahavishnu, how can someone expect to count the innumerable number of the representations of the opulent representations of Krishna, the vibhutis, even in one particular universe? And in the Gita also, 10th chapter, Krishna is saying the same, essentially the same message is giving to Arjuna also. Yad yad vibhuti matsatvam srimad urjitam evava tattad evava gachatvam tam mama tejo amsha sambhavam. And Srila Prabhupada, in the purport to that particular verse, he is also explaining something similar to what Srila Jiva Goswami has commented, what we read in the purport. And Prabhupada is writing very wonderfully that there is no point in understanding that how things exist in their separate opulence and grandeur. He should know that all things are existing due to Krishna's entering them as super soul. From Brahma, the most gigantic entity, on down to the smallest ant, all are existing because the Lord has entered each of these entities and is sustaining them all. Even Srila Baldev Vidya Bhushan, he concludes his commentary on the 10th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita with this verse. He says, Yat chakti leshat suryadya bhavanti ati ugra tejasah yad amshena dhritam vishwam sa krishno dashame archyate. From Lord Krishna's potent energy, even the powerful sun gets his power. And by Krishna's partial representation, the whole world is manifested, is maintained. And therefore, Lord Krishna is worshipable by everyone. So, all these descriptions, when we talk about the universes, innumerable number of universes getting manifested from the body of Krishna, when we talk about the innumerable amount of vibhutis present in one particular universe, they all go to establish that how Krishna is vibhu, he is infinite, he is supreme. And at the same time, the living entity is anu. Prabhupada gives a very beautiful term to this word anu. He says how the living entity is infinitesimal. He is infinitely small in comparison to the Supreme Personality. And because the living entity is infinitely small, the faculties that these living entities have to measure Krishna or to understand about the Krishna is also very small. In other words, the senses of the living entities are very limited. Now, we may find that we can amass a lot of information and we can know so much about this world, but then understanding or in comparison to the creation of the Supreme Lord, the capability of the senses of the living entities is very much limited. And therefore, in the Padma Puran, it is mentioned, Atah Sri Krishna Namadi na bhavet grahyam indre sevon mukhehi jihvado swayam eva spurati adah. Atah Sri Krishna Namadi, to understand Krishna's name, form, qualities, opulences and pastimes, Atah Shri Krishna Nama Adi Na Bhavet Grahyam Indret. It is very difficult for the limited senses to perceive Krishna's opulence. It is very difficult for the senses of the living entities to actually understand Krishna in totality. How is that possible? Sevon Mukhehi Jihvado. When one takes up to the loving devotional service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, which starts with the tongue. Sevon mukhevi jihvado swayam eva sphurati adha. When a living entity engages in loving devotional service to the Supreme Lord, all of these glories of the name, form, qualities, opulences and pastimes of Krishna, they get gradually revealed to the living entity. And we find multiple examples in the Srimad Bhagavatam that how so many great personalities, when they wanted to perceive Krishna, when they wanted to understand Krishna by the dint of their, you know, material senses. Now, we may think that we have very good eyesight or very, you know, other material senses are very nicely functioning. What to talk of the creator of this universe, Lord Brahma. Lord Brahma, he also wanted to perceive and understand Krishna by looking at Krishna. In the Brahma Vimohan Leela, we find that, you know, Lord Brahma is bewildered that how can the Supreme be like this small little child holding this curd rice in his palm and, you know, playing with his friends and, you know, cracking jokes and everything. Maybe I need to test him out. So Lord Brahma wanted to perceive the Supreme with his material senses. And the pastime goes to show that how even Lord Brahma, he failed miserably. He failed in such a shameful manner that, you know, he had to admit, you know, his folly before Lord Krishna. Similarly, we find the example of Indra, that how when Krishna advises the Brajabasis to, you know, dovetail all their preparations for Indra Puja that they have been making and use all those ingredients and preparations for worshipping Govardhan. And everyone, because they are so attached to Krishna, all the Brajabasis, they are very much, they don't want to displease Krishna. And just because Krishna is recommending, they give up their years of Indra Puja and they use those same, you know, they take a risk basically. They take such a big risk being Vaishyas. They knew very well that as Vaishyas, their fortune is very much dependent on the rainfall that comes by the mercy of Indra. But still, because they were so attached to Krishna, they take that risk and use all those preparations for worshipping Govardhan. Now when Indradev, he, you know, looks at the, you know, what is happening over there, and he finds the culprit, that here is Krishna, who is kind of, you know, the mastermind behind all this plot that is happening. And Indra, he also wants to perceive, he also wants to, you know, let Krishna learn a lesson. And therefore there is this whole, you know, devastating rainfall that follows, and then Krishna lifts the Govardhan and everything. And when, so essentially in his attempt to understand Krishna through his material senses, Indra also fails very miserably. And therefore, when Krishna lifts that Govardhan, he has nice beautiful exchanges for 7 days and seven continuous nights with all the Brajabasis. And Indra, he tries his best and fails miserably. He also understands that maybe I won't be able to understand Krishna by the dint of my material senses. And it is only going to happen. Another beautiful example is that of Putana. When Putana comes to feed Krishna in the house of Nanda Maharaj, Putana is also thinking that Krishna is just like any other ordinary child. And aptly behaving like an ordinary child, Krishna also, as if out of fear, he closes his eyes. That if he keeps his eyes open, and acharyas, they give n number of commentaries, so many commentaries, why Krishna closes his eyes. But behaving just like a small child, Krishna closes his eyes as if he is fearful. And to give that assurance to Putana that you want to understand me by your eyesight, by your material senses, okay, try it out. And behaving like a child, Putana considers Krishna to be a child, and she picks Krishna and begins to feed him. And then when soon she realizes that, you know, what I thought, just like there is a beautiful comparison that is given, that just like a snake, the snake might pounce upon a mongoose who may look like a big rat. the snake might think that this is a very big rat that is there. And the snake pounces upon that rat. But then, very soon, the snake realizes this is not a rat. This is actually a mongoose. But before the snake realizes, it is too late. And the snake finds itself being trapped in the clutches of the mongoose. So similarly, Putana was about to feed Krishna, thinking him to be an ordinary child. But then Krishna, you know, he has now caught hold of Putana. And Putana is wanting to get rid of Krishna, just like the snake wants to get rid of the mongoose, but is unable to do so. Similarly, Putana is also wanting to get rid of Krishna, but she is also unable to do so. And therefore, the Acharyas explain that Krishna is having those lotus feet, Krishna is having his lotus feet on the body of Putana, and Putana is wanting to get rid of Krishna's lotus feet. Those lotus feet which are aspired by all the great devotees, those great yogis and sages and everyone who are aspiring to reach Krishna's lotus feet as the summum bonum of all their endeavors, as their, you know, all their yogic practices and everything, those same lotus feet have been attained by Putana, but unfortunately Putana is wanting to get rid of the lotus feet of Krishna. All because Putana wanted to understand Krishna out of her material senses. But on the other hand, on one hand are the example of what we discussed, the example of Lord Brahma, example of Lord Indra and Putana. On the other hand is the beautiful example of Prahlad Maharaj. That how Prahlad Maharaj, he was not dependent on his material senses. Na bhavet grahyam indriye, sivon mukhe jivado. Because Prahlad was having this loving devotion within his heart, he was able to perceive Krishna anywhere and everywhere. And therefore when Hiranyakashipu, he asked Prahlad that where is your Supreme Lord? Where is Vishnu? Tell me where is Vishnu. Prahlad very innocently and very naturally, he exclaimed that he is everywhere. Now it's not that Prahlad was giving a very smart answer or anything like that. No, Prahlad was actually able to see and perceive Krishna by the dint of his devotion. And therefore, innocently, Prahlad Maharaj mentioned that he is actually everywhere. And when Hiranyakashipu asked, is he there in the pillar? He said, of course. Of course he is there in the pillar. And then the pastime goes, how Hiranyakashipu, he slashes the pillar and, you know, as if to, you know, keep the word of Prahlad right, the Supreme Lord manifests in a never before seen form as Lord Narasimha Dev. So yes, there is failure when one tries to perceive Krishna through material senses, but there is success when one tries to perceive Krishna through loving devotional service. And it is only by loving devotion that one can understand or one can come to know about the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And this is a fact that even Krishna admits. And for that very purpose, he appears as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He appears as Lord Chaitanya to practice that devotion, to practice bhakti unto the Supreme Lord himself, unto himself, so that he may understand what is it about him, what is the nature of his opulences that attracts all his devotees towards him. And therefore, in order to understand about himself, in order to understand about his own opulences, Krishna appears as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and performs his beautiful pastimes. And just to conclude, that yes, Uddhava is being told by Krishna here that better get engaged in my devotion instead of trying to analyze and trying to count my number of opulences and expect a complete catalogue that is being mentioned in the purport of my opulences. Better take your connection with me very seriously. Now this is the essence what Krishna wants to convey to both Arjuna and Uddhava, that how one needs to take one's connection with Krishna very seriously. Just like in a temple, there might be a very generous donor. So for a generous donor, a good amount of care is taken, you know, because, you know, one can understand that, you know, this generous donor can actually make a good amount of difference like that. So similarly, you know, one may be wondering, what is this that the donor can, what is the difference that the donor can make in my life? Similarly, a devotee needs to wonder that what Krishna can give him, what can Krishna give to us in our life? And we find that how in the process of loving devotion, Krishna is waiting to give himself to his devotee, which could be more than any kind of, you know, contribution that any person in this world could make. Here is Krishna who is waiting to give himself to his devotee. And Srila Prabhupada writes very beautifully, and we have also heard it so many times, that Krishna is wanting to give himself to his devotee, provide the devotee has these three qualities. One is serious, one is sincere, and one is without any ulterior motive. So yes, just as a person knows that it is very important to care for an important or a generous donor because he can make a difference. Or maybe in the corporate world, how the relationship with a very important business contact is taken very seriously. Because the person knows that there is a lot of business opportunities that may follow if the relationship is very much in place. So similarly, what is our business as a devotee? Our business is to serve Krishna. And therefore, if we take the connection with Krishna very seriously, Krishna will definitely award more and more business opportunities or service opportunities to us in future. So just to summarize all that we have been discussing, we began with explaining that how Krishna, he is setting right the expectation of Uddhava to focus not on the aspect of his completeness, but on the aspect of his charisma. And we saw the definition, beautiful definition on that, how charisma means compelling attractiveness or charm that inspires devotion in others. And how we saw that today's craze about estimating and stating the worth of so-called opulent people, we saw so many examples. But then in order to attain that wealth and in order to retain that wealth, there is a lot of struggle that goes into place. And further we saw about the two audiences that are hearing about the opulences of Krishna. We saw the example of Arjuna and example of Uddhava, the comparison, the similarities between both of them, what is the approach that they adopt. So the very first thing that they do is, there is the survey of the current situation and the after effects. Then there is submission with their intelligence, not getting trapped in the groove of analysis. And finally, there is acceptance of the solution. So survey of the situation, submission with intelligence, and solution acceptance. And solution is being provided in a twofold manner. Krishna provides, first of all, the shelter to both of them by explaining about himself, explaining about his opulences. And we discussed that how this principle of shelter is the same for everyone. But the second thing that Krishna gives to both of them is service, which is like a detail which may vary from person to person. And finally, the unspoken messages that Krishna is imparting to Uddhava, that how one should appreciate the quality instead of analyzing the quantity, how Krishna is simply Vibhu and the living entity is Anu with his limited senses. And one should take the connection with the Supreme Lord very seriously, pondering upon what we can get from Krishna and what we can give to Krishna. I think with those words, I'll stop here. Thank you all very much for your patient listening. Hare Krishna. Granth Raj Srimad Bhagavatam ki. His divine grace Srila Prabhupada ki.